What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I hear my voice. We have successfully made it onto the air this morning for what? What is this, Carl? Is this the third day in a row?
It is day minus one, because we're supposed to be in the other studio. In fact, we were told we were going to be in the other studio.
Oh, yeah.
And they lied to us and left an ambiguous note saying, eh. I'm angry for you, Mark Cox.
No. We're just fine. We're on the air. That's what's important. What may follow a bit more slowly would be us getting on to social media this
morning. It's on that closed computer right there.
We will try to get to the Twitter feed and Rumble here before long, I promise. But you know what? We don't need those stuff. We're doing radio the old-fashioned way this morning. We're earning it.
By the seat of our pants.
We're earning it. We don't need all the bells and whistles. Darn it. There's too much going on in the world. This stuff is serious. We got sound bites to get to. We got the Kamala Harris Oprah extravaganza last night to get to for you this morning, where even with the help of arguably the richest woman in the world, right? I don't know. Does Oprah have more money than Jeff Bezos' ex-wife? Do we know?
I doubt that.
I don't know. It, arguably the richest media person in the world who earned her money doing talk shows. Even with Oprah's assistance, Kamala Harris took a swing and a miss on just about every question last night. I have to imagine. Remember the event that George Clooney attended with Joe Biden, where he stood up on stage and he looked into the audience and he begged people to donate money to this great man who has saved America. And even as the words were coming out of his mouth, he knew he'd been duped. And a week and a half later, he came out and said, okay, I was wrong.
This guy's got to go.
My guess is somewhere in the back of Oprah's mind, the part of her that still has a shred of honesty and decency in her, she knows this woman has no business being president of the United States. None. She is a vacant shell who just reiterates statements that have been given to her by someone else. She just can't answer a question. It's as bad as, Miss Vice President, I can't afford to pay my bills. What are you going to do about it? And I'm not kidding you. Listen, I grew up in a middle-class household. Every single time. People said to her, Madam Vice President, specifically, and bear in mind, they only took questions from friendly people. What are your plans to fix the economy and prices? What are your specific plans? Well, just so you know, I grew up in a middle-class family, and I know things aren't easy right now. But when we bring joy back to the equation, things will be better. I mean, it's that bad. It is as bad as we ever thought it was, and I refuse to believe that somebody as intelligent, I believe, as Oprah Winfrey wasn't sitting there squirming in her chair, wishing she could go do some more Weight Watchers commercials instead of whatever she was doing at the moment. There's just no doubt about it. It was uncomfortable to watch her spew the same practice lines, the same lies, accused Donald Trump last night of planning some 20% tax on everyday items. It's the Trump tax, she said. Because clearly in her mind, because she doesn't have much of one, she thinks that using the negotiating ploy of tariffs to get your competitors to deal with you more fairly is somehow a tax on everyday items. When it's her inflation rate, she and Biden, her 25% increase in prices the last 4 years, that causes your everyday prices to cost more. And she just doesn't have the ability to comprehend any of that. It was sad to watch. I've got the sound for you. I want you to sit there and be uncomfortable as you listen to it too, just like I was. So we'll get to more on that for you coming up here shortly. Honestly, we're going to talk to John Pudner, president of the Take Back Action Fund, on this, specifically the state of Pennsylvania and what's going on up there. I don't know how anybody could have watched what happened last night with Harris and walked away from it feeling good about voting for her. I don't, unless the people watching it are as dense as she apparently is on issues of the economy and immigration. I mean, it was bad. It really was. Jim Carafano a little later. Can't wait to talk to Jim. Been waiting all week for this. I want his take on not only the attacks overnight in Lebanon. Apparently, Israel found a bunch of rockets aimed at Israel, and they blew them all up yesterday. Hundreds of them. Massive explosions all over southern Lebanon in day three or four now of attacks against Hezbollah. And I want to talk to Carafano specifically about blowing up all the pagers. Beep, beep. Now sends terror into the hearts of every member of Hezbollah when they hear the sound of a beeper. We've got him coming up at 7:20. At 7:35, Edward Lang, Jacob Lang, is going to join us. He has been waiting just about the longest time of anyone related to January 6th in jail, still awaiting trial all these years later. And 60 Minutes will do a hit piece on Donald Trump telling you there's nothing to see here. It's unbelievable. We're going to talk to him this morning at 7:35. So be sure and stay tuned for that. Right now, Carl Middleman, if we have a top list, let's get to it.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
You know, I believe it's important for the country to recognize this progress, because if we don't, the progress we made will remain locked in the fear of negative mindset and dominate our economic outlook since the pandemic began.
Yeah, what do you think? The president, I think, was that Joe Biden? It was. He doesn't want you to be negative about anything. That's what the script said in front of him.
You know, the Teamsters, many of them worked for me, even doing this building. But I built many buildings in New York, and they delivered the concrete, and they delivered it well.
There you go. Donald Trump working hard there, talking about the Teamsters and how happy he is that they didn't endorse Kamala and that 60% of them actually support him.
If you're such an incompetent person that 92% of your staff doesn't want to work for you, maybe we shouldn't elect that person as president.
We've all heard the stories about the staff turnover in the vice president's cabinet and not cabinet, but staffing. Huge, right? People couldn't work for her for a variety of reasons. And I thought J.D. Vance made a great point last night.
I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Yes, yes.
I probably should not have said that.
So I wonder what happens if you are in a house surrounded by Secret Service. And you hear a noise, if you owned a gun, you fired that gun. What do you think would happen? I mean, we almost got the Kamala cackle there. This is an unserious person trying to. Oprah couldn't believe you have a gun. You have a gun. Here's the obvious follow up question, Oprah. Since you were a journalist at some point and then went into, you know, many days of Jerry Springer-like talk shows, what kind of gun do you have? Tell me about your gun ownership so that people at home might relate to you better, Kamala Harris. Is it a revolver? Is it a semi-automatic? Because heaven forbid you own a semi-automatic weapon of war. Nobody has the guts to ask her that question or the inclination. My guess is Oprah Winfrey wouldn't even know how to ask that question. My guess is she's never touched a gun. And these are the type of unserious conversations held on the Oprah Winfrey show last night, which isn't a thing anymore, but she was able to suddenly pull it together with her billions of dollars. I wonder how uncomfortable she was when Harris was sitting across from her claiming that she's going to target billionaires. Oprah's probably thinking, what in the hell was I thinking about holding this thing? She's coming after me. That's what we're dealing with right there. All right, we're going to get to a quick break here. We have got this morning's. We're going to get to Lieutenant Governor Abel Maldonado. If you didn't hear our interview with him yesterday, I want to replay that for you here at the bottom of the hour. He used to be the Lieutenant Governor of California. He was in office when she was still out there as Attorney General. Years ago. He knows what she's done to the state of California. We'll get to that for you coming up right after we listen to The Fray.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Sorry. Yes, yes. I hear that. I hear that.
Probably should not have said that. But my staff will deal with that later. Yeah.
I don't even know what to say. Oprah did not know she was a gun owner. Oprah's thinking, have I been in your house and didn't know that you had a scary gun locked up somewhere in your house? Seriously, you need to listen. I pulled a couple of the bites this morning where individuals tuned into this thing on the Oprah network and wanted to ask serious questions about fixing the cost of living, and the woman could not give a single specific on what she would do to fix the economy. Here it is. Listen.
We really would love to know what your plan is to help lower the cost of living.
Yeah. First of all, thank you both for being here. And yours is a story I hear around the country as I travel. And in terms of both rightly having the right to have aspirations and dreams and ambitions for your family and working hard and finding that the American dream is for this generation and so many recently far more elusive than it's been. And we need to deal with that. And there are a number of ways. One is bringing down the cost of everyday necessities, including groceries.
So she reverts back to her price gauging plan to stop grocery stores from dinging you, because, you know, that's your biggest problem. If those grocery stores didn't have that 1% markup, your groceries would be $1 cheaper. Honestly, you heard that she swims around in her head looking for answers and can't find anything, so she spews the same things out over and over again. Well, first of all, I want you to know, I appreciate that. And you have joys and you have aspirations and you want to achieve those things, but you can't do it. So we need to approach and attack those things and try to get them down, starting with price gouging. Honestly, everyday necessities. She talks about the same things over and over in circles. There is no way somebody as intelligent as Oprah Winfrey wasn't sitting there thinking in her head, oh my God, what have I done? I really should have sat down and had a long conversation with this ding dong before I endorsed her. It got worse, and I've only got a minute left here, and the soundbite is about 2 minutes long, but I'm going to play it for you this morning, I promise. We come back here after our Abel Maldonado interview. I want to play you her answer on a young girl who said, listen, I'm a graduate student, but I'm still living with mom and dad because I can't afford to move out. But what I really want to do is move out and buy a house. But I'm afraid because everything's so expensive. What are you going to do to help me? And, well, you know, I grew up in a middle class family. It's unbelievable what happened there last night. And I'd love to know how they're spinning this on Morning Joe and some of these other ridiculous left-wing media shows this morning. Maybe we'll find the answer to that a little later today. I don't think they can hide it. CNN is not hiding their distrust of her answers anymore. And I'll get to that for you as well. Coming up in just a few minutes. We'll be right back.
I was raised as a middle-class kid.
I grew up a middle-class kid.
I grew up a middle-class kid.
I believe in the ambition, the aspirations, the dreams of the American people.
Be focusing on, again, the aspirations and the dreams.
Their ambition, their aspirations, and their dreams.
I intend to create an opportunity economy.
Creating an opportunity economy.
What I'm talking about in terms of building an opportunity economy.
Well, you've heard that a time or two. That is Kamala Harris, who's the Democrat nominee for president right now. And if you listen closely to a lot of her interviews, it's a lot of the same word salad over and over and over again. We got a guest this morning who knows a thing or two about Kamala Harris. He is former Lieutenant Governor of California, Abel Maldonado. Got him on the phone right now. And Mr. Lieutenant Governor, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Mark, it's my honor to be with you this morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I would point out to people that you served as Lieutenant Governor under Arnold Schwarzenegger, correct?
That is correct, and we had a front row seat of Kamala Harris.
I'm assuming because you've been involved in at the mayoral level out there, and then, of course, you were in the State House and the Senate. You've kind of watched her career from her rise in San Francisco, right?
Oh, my God. We've seen it all over here, Mark. And for the listeners, just take a look at this beautiful city of San Francisco, what has happened to it. It says it all, Mark. We've watched her start as a deputy district attorney in Oakland. We watched her as a district attorney in San Francisco. And those two cities are just a mess. And I'm not speaking out of term. I love California. I'm a California former lieutenant governor. I was born and raised in this state. And Kamala Harris and her group have destroyed California. And that's the reason that millions of people have left our state and continue to leave because of Kamala Harris. And I sit here back and I'm shocked just to see the polling that goes out throughout our country that it's even close because she is a socialist liberal from San Francisco.
Yeah, I just want to talk about perceptions for a moment because obviously we're in St. Louis, Missouri, as we talk to you. I think that a lot of people are surprised that there are still Republicans in California. Maybe you can give us the truth about that. There are very red areas of California. They're just overwhelmed by the population centers, correct?
Absolutely. We have to remember that during the 90s, we had 16 years of Republican gubernatorial office holders with George Duke Majan and Pete Wilson. And then all of a sudden, things started to go sour for us here in California. And what happened instead of and I hate to say this to you, Mark, but I stayed here to fight. But a lot of people just says, I can't fight these folks and left and started to leave. And in the 90s registration here, we had 41% Republican registration. Today, I think we got down to 21. I think we're back up to 22% registration. And what's happened is our voters have just left. And there's a lot of voters here that would love to leave, but can't leave. So they're stuck. And that's the reason. Can California come back? It has to take a miracle. People have to come back to California. Currently, we're not seeing that situation.
Yeah, we're talking to Abel Maldonado, former Lieutenant Governor of California, former state senator. I want to play a soundbite from Senator Kamala Harris, because she now tells us that she and Tim Walz are gun owners and they're not coming after anybody's gun. But listen to cut 10 here. And she was with Gavin Newsom when she said this.
Responsible behaviors among everybody in the community. And just because you legally possess a gun in the sanctity of your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible and safe in the way you conduct your affairs.
I mean, how many constitutional violations did she sum up in one statement there? And why should we believe that she doesn't still believe those things?
I mean, she's somebody on her campaign has told her, you need to transform yourself and be somebody totally different that you were in San Francisco, because that's not going to jive. I mean, on guns, Mark, every time there was an issue with guns in California, she would try to rip them away. Mandatory buyback programs here in California. If there was something that if a criminal, an illegal alien criminal created something, she would go out. At one time, she eliminated gun shows here in California, where people would go to a gun show, maybe purchase a firearm, just go by and look at fire. She is anti-gun. She's been anti-gun since the get-go. And this notion that I own a gun, I really like to have a fact check on that of when did she get it? Is she the only reason she has a gun is because she was a former prosecutor. But other than that, she doesn't have, I don't think she has one.
I'd love somebody to ask her that. She'll never talk to, I don't think, a journalist who would have the guts to ask it, but exactly what brand of gun do you own? What's the model? When's the last time you fired a gun? Because I think she uses that as a just as a deflection line, right?
Of course it is. Yeah. Everything's been a deflection line for Kamala Harris, Mark. Everything on guns, the Green New Deal, now she's against it. Open border, she opened the floodgates. In California, she opened the floodgates. And now she's like, well, maybe some border control. I mean, we have to remember that Bernie Sanders said it the best, Mark. He said, she's got to change in order to win. Once she wins, she'll go back to the Kamala Harris we all know. That says it all, who she is and why she's running. Bernie Sanders is a socialist in America, in the U.S. Senate. Kamala Harris, by GovTrack, was said to be more liberal than Bernie Sanders. That's San Francisco. And people need to remember San Francisco, Barbara Boxer, Jerry Brown, Dianne Feinstein. It goes on and on and on, Mark.
Now, you, Mr. Maldonado, you ran against Gavin Newsom. I had a conversation with somebody one time who knew him very well, who described him as very much of a chameleon, that he would do and say whatever he needed to do to get elected. I mean, it sounds like you're describing Gavin Newsom and Kamala Harris in the same sentence.
Identical. The only difference is that Gavin Newsom will do interviews. Kamala Harris runs from interviews. That's the difference, Mark. But they're identical. They are identical on every policy. When Kamala would say something, I mean, let's just, for example, real quick, Mark, Edwin Ramos is a criminal San Salvadoran MS-13 gang member. He robbed a person. Kamala Harris let him go. Kamala Harris was supposed to call Immigration Department. She did not. Second time, he gets pulled over, grand theft. Kamala Harris was supposed to prosecute him. She put him in juvenile hall. She was supposed to send him back to El Salvador. She did not. The third time, he was pulled over. He had a loaded gun that was in a double murder homicide. He was let go. They couldn't prove it was his. She could have called INS. On the fourth time, Edwin Ramos murdered a father and two sons. Kamala Harris says, okay, we got to end gun shows. We got to do something about this. But she is a socialist liberal from San Francisco. Nothing else. All this new stuff is fake, just like Tim Walz.
It's true. And, you know, I did see the story this week about Gavin Newsom signing this law to ban. I don't know. Is it a misinformation law where if they determine what you've posted on the internet is they disagree with it, they can basically shut you down? Is that correct?
Absolutely. And thank God there were some issues on the bill where giving illegal immigrants $150,000 to buy a home.
Wow.
I mean, it's just we're not making this up, Mark. It's what California is. It's what Kamala Harris has been and has done for the last 20 years. Kamala Harris is dangerously liberal policies were disastrous for California, and she wants to take that to the rest of America. She's just trying to hide and change things, Mark, just to get elected. Once she's elected, watch out. So, I mean, now she's saying that she wants opportunity economy. What the hell is an opportunity economy? We can't afford groceries. We can't, I mean, just simple things. I don't know how she's trying to hoodwink the swing states like she hoodwinked us.
Yeah, it's a great point. Mr. Maldonado, what are you up to these days now that you're out of politics?
You know, we have a farm here. We have a ranch. We grow broccoli and cauliflower, and we have cattle. And that's why I'm telling you that Tim Walz is a fake, because anybody who wears boots, Wranglers, a Carhartt shirt, and a camouflage hat in California never, ever puts tampons in fourth-grade boys' restrooms. Tim Walz is a fake. He's a mini-Gavin. He's trying to be a mini-Gavin, Mark. And it's that's why she chose him.
Yes.
They are on a mission to liberalize America, to socialize America. And today when you ask you, what are you doing today? I'm working for Donald J. Trump. I'm a volunteer. I'm not getting paid a one penny. I don't need a job. I don't need anything. I need to tell America what Kamala Harris did to destroy my home state of California.
Well, and you're doing a great job of it. Former Lieutenant Governor Abel Maldonado, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mark, so much.
You bet. Good to get him on here this morning, hearing from somebody who's dealt with Kamala just about her entire career in the state of California. And he's absolutely spot on with that one, I can tell you. We'll be right back. In case you're wondering, Carl Middleman is very excited about seeing Pitbull this weekend.
Yes, Sunday night.
And you have a Monday recovery day.
I do.
And you're hoping when you get back to work, things will be back to normal.
You're funny.
Yeah. By the way, Carl, are we live on Rumble yet?
We are.
Oh, that's good.
We are.
All right. So
and X.
The Rumble and X technology has followed along this morning. So I just got a text, an email, I should say, from somebody wanting to know when we were going to be live on Facebook again. And quite frankly, I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. I would probably, if given the choice, skip it altogether, to be very honest with you, because of the way they've treated us. But I know that there are people out there who still prefer that format over Rumble or X. So we'll see. If Facebook ever responds to us and realizes this stupid mistake they made, then yes, indeed, we'll be back on the Facebook feed. But for now, we are live on Rumble, and you can go there and listen to the show, and we would love to have you on there. If you sign in, you can participate in the chat there, as a lot of people used to do with the chat on Facebook. But right now, we're not on Facebook. I am looking. Indeed, we are live up on Rumble this morning. We've already got a few people that have clearly gotten notifications. My guess is if you follow the page when you're there, you too will get notifications when the show goes live. So good luck with that.
Hello, Wally.
Where is my camera here? Carl, is it up here?
It's right there.
Oh, okay. So that's okay. We'll get that fixed. It's a little high, but that's all right. So are we. This morning. High on life, aren't we, Carl?
Well, then you lied on your gun form.
No, you know me better than that. We've talked about breaking out the desk bourbon this morning just to celebrate, haven't we?
Yeah.
Or drown our sorrows. Would that be the better way of putting it?
The show will sound better.
Well, gee, thank you, Carl.
No, not you.
Lack of support there.
Me.
Ah.
I just need something to take the edge off. I saw Sarah Silverman and Todd Glass last night over at Stiefel Theater.
Really?
Yes.
How was it?
She wasn't political at all, which I thought she would be, and
me
she
too.
Was not. She wasn't.
Not at all? Never mentioned Donald Trump.
Not at all. And Todd Glass, very funny gentleman, and I've known Todd Glass for decades, but she did a whole show about her parents dying. And
wow.
And she's like, I'm trying this out. The name of the tour is called Postmortem, and it was really funny. About a serious...
Her parents dying.
Yes, and
really
she said,
funny.
The last thing my parents gave me was 53 minutes to talk about their deaths.
Wow.
And it was entertaining. I mean, it'll be a Netflix special.
Did her parents die like close together or something? Was that the trauma?
Nine days apart.
Oh, wow.
Her stepmother had pancreatic cancer, and then her father, his kidneys failed.
Hmm.
It was... And I thought... A friend of mine who was there said, wow, what a great topic for a comedy show. And you wouldn't think so, but you can mine comedy out of tragedy.
Yeah. Well, you've given it rave reviews there.
I enjoyed it, and you'll see it on Netflix in probably a year.
Oh, okay. Well, something to look forward to, I guess.
It was one of those shows, Mark, they took their phones away.
And I might the audience?
Yeah, they took everybody's phones away.
Huh.
But I knew that, so I didn't even bring one in.
So, I see, now I'm glad you told me that. There's a good reason for that, because there are people who have been so political as comedians that I would just avoid going to see them, because I that's not what I came here to laugh, not to see you roast my political opinion. So you know that going in, and it's so one-sided in many cases. So I'm glad that you told us that, because Sarah Silverman is probably one. She probably would have been on that list of people I would not go out of my way to see just because of my expectation.
Didn't talk politics one lick.
And he didn't either?
Todd Glass, no.
So I assume he warmed up for her.
Yeah, he did fresh jokes too.
Huh.
And well, he was on Last Comic Standing. I've liked him for a long time.
I haven't seen a good comedy show in a while. I mean, other than that Oprah special last night with Kamala Harris, it's been a while. It really has. So I need to look at that. I loved going to the Funny Bone and places like that over the years. I just haven't had the opportunity lately, I guess.
Well, Todd Glass and I talked about Al Canal last night. Al Canal, who was the preeminent comedy booker in town, now runs the Wildy Theater over in Edwardsville.
Yeah.
And he's great.
So, Carl, what do we have coming up next Friday?
Next Friday?
Billy Joel.
And Sting.
And Sting. We'll and a friend of mine just went to see them in Louisville, apparently, and he shared Sting's set list this morning.
Any police
on
songs?
Social media. I'll have to go back and read it. I think there were, yeah. But we're looking forward to that. It's going to be over at Busch Stadium next Friday night, sneaking up on us, the end of the month already. Already the 20th. Wow. All right, I'm going to get to some more of that Harris disaster that happened last night with Oprah. I don't know how they avoid the spin on this one. It'll be interesting to see. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.